If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we are back with What Would Your Bestie Do?, our monthly advice segment where you guys send in questions and we answer them. This is our August episode, so we are answering all the questions that were sent in the month of August. We have some good ones and we're very excited to dive into that. But first, as always, we're going to catch up, do our peaks of the week, and then we will answer your questions.
Amazing. How are you? How's the week been?
I'm good. The week's been great. Well, I guess it's the start of the week. We are recording on a Monday, but last week was really, really fun. I just got back yesterday from a wedding in Chicago. Congrats to Kevin and Michelle. Kevin is one of Connor's best friends from college, and they were roommates. And yeah, we know him so well. So it was so fun. And Michelle, we've gotten to know Michelle really well the last couple of years. It was so fun to see all our college friends. This is our third, I think it's our third college friend wedding this summer. So it's been pretty back to back to back. We have one more, all from the same group in 2 weeks. And it's honestly kind of nice because there hasn't been any small talk catching up with everybody because we've been seeing each other really recently all summer at these other weddings. So you're kind of just diving in and having fun and not having to catch up. It's like, oh, I saw you 2 weeks ago at the other one. So that's been really, really great. Yeah, I love seeing everybody. And I love Chicago. The weather was amazing. It's finally starting to cool down a little bit. I love summer, but in the Midwest, well, especially in St. Louis, it is just unenjoyable at times. It's just so hot out in the summer. So I'm so happy there's a little bit of chill as August comes around, you know, or as the fall comes around, as August continues on. And I'm excited to spend a lot more time outdoors. I have a sand volleyball league starting on Wednesday. And I'm so excited because
you got in this time.
Well, thank God the signups were open. Because again, we've talked about this so many times. You have to sign up so early on for the seasons. I don't even know why. And luckily, this one starts Wednesday and signups were open this weekend. Maybe it just didn't fill up. I think that's probably why they usually fill up really quick. Thankfully, the one I wanted did not fill up. I just signed a team up and I was like, I'll figure out who's in it later. I just need to do this. And yeah, that'll be because my friends played this summer and I substituted for one game. It was 100 degrees. It was so hot. The sun was beating down on us. And usually if you're playing sand volleyball, maybe you're at the beach and there's some wind breeze or you're by water. No, this one's just a court in St. Louis, which it's fun, but so hot for summer. I love summer. I'm definitely a hot weather person, but just with the humidity here, it's a little unbearable. So I'm so excited for the next couple months of actually being able to be outside and enjoying it.
Well, and it's one thing to be outside when it's hot and it's another to be exercising outside when it's hot.
Yeah. So I'm excited that we can play in 80 degree weather, or maybe 70, 75, that range I love.
This is maybe a dumb question, but what season is volleyball for, not that you're not an athlete, but like for people in season, like in high school and college?
College is the fall. Well, for indoor volleyball. Sand volleyball, I have no idea. That's terrible. Because I think in real sand volleyball for college, I think it's only two players. Don't quote me on that. But I think a lot of the actual competitive beach volleyball, you're only on teams of two, at least for the Olympics. Because I watched that when it was in Paris last year, the two-player sand volleyball. I don't know. I think volleyball can be year-round, though, for club and when you're in high school. In the fall, though, for sure, college. High school, I think it's also in the fall, but it also could depend on your state. I feel like all that was changed by state.
We need to phone McKenna.
Yeah, McKenna for sure. She played in high school in the fall, played college in the fall. I think their last game was November. I think national championships are in December because I remember being home one time from college and I went and it was around Christmas time because the University of Nebraska was playing in Omaha because Omaha hosts a lot of volleyball stuff.
Okay, also another sidebar. Sorry to do this. Is it Brady's birthday today too? Or before the day that this comes out. Isn't Brady's birthday right now?
The day, yes, this comes out is Brady's birthday, August 27th.
Hi, yeah, all the Brady. Kirkpatrick birthdays. Yeah, in my mind.
That's amazing.
Because I'm like, okay, he's a Virgo. That. And I know he's an early Virgo. And we just entered Virgo season.
And he's so Virgo. It's funny.
He is a Virgo to a T for sure.
Yeah. Maybe not the most Virgo ever. Because I feel like he's not like that anal or anything. But he definitely is organized.
And clean.
Yeah. And okay. Has that kind of stuff down.
You said you went to Chicago for a wedding this weekend. Not to be confused, 2 weekends ago, you went to Colorado for a wedding, right?
Yes. So
yeah, that's the two that were of recent.
And that was the same friend group and stuff. And
cool.
Yeah. Colorado. Then I went to LA for that short film. Then I came home, have been here. Yeah. Chicago this past weekend. And then next week, McKenna, very exciting, got invited to a Jerf Avenue event in New York City.
You're, oh my God, I'm so happy for her. This is fantastic.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, my sister, she's the fashionista, loves Jerf Avenue, have been supporting them since day one, like has so many pieces. I'm happy that they finally recognized her because I'm like, every single time she'd post, I'm like, they need to use you as an ambassador or like, you need to get in because you are that brand's ideal customer, ideal image to a T.
Yes, and her content that she photographs in the outfits, I feel like is very aligned with their brand too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely have reposted her. I don't know, I don't know, a couple times, but so she got invited. And then I was like, do you want to come to New York City? I'm like, well, can you ask if I can come with you? I know that's not, it didn't say plus one, but I'm like, can you just ask? And so she asked and the girl was like, I don't know. I don't think so, but I can ask and I'll get back to you. And then the next day she's like, okay, actually she can come. So we're going to go to New York for literally 2 days.
Oh my event. God, that's so fun.
Yeah, because I know, so fun. I had a Delta credit from a work trip that they booked and then it got canceled literally 2 days in advance, probably a month ago. So I had this Delta credit. And guys, you got to remember those Delta, Southwest, all these credits expire. And last year I let a Delta credit expire. Thankfully I called and they let me redeem it because Delta is the best. But I'm like, okay, I need to use these things because clearly I forget, especially when I fly all these different airlines. I'm like not checking all the different portals all the time for when these credits expire. So I'm like, okay, free flight. I think it was $40. The credit only covered almost all of it. Then I had to pay a little bit more. But I'm like, okay, I got to use this credit because you can't let it expire. And McKenna said she'd pay for the hotel room because she lives with my parents and doesn't pay rent right now. Maybe she pays a little bit, but not like a real apartment rent. And so that's free. Well, I'll pay for the food. And then that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no reason not to.
Exactly. So this event's on Wednesday. There's an event on Thursday that I really want to go to. It's a one-day conference. If you guys ever have watched the creators Colin and Samir, they do content creator economy breakdown videos or talking about big content creators that are successful or like what's going well in influencer marketing. It's very entrepreneurial content, informational stuff. And they have a daily newsletter called The Publish Press that I've been reading pretty much for 2 or 3 years, not every day, but I've been subscribed to their newsletter. And they're doing a one-day event just to network and talk about the creator economy. And it's good for brands too. If you have a brand or a small business, what's working marketing-wise? And I applied. So fingers crossed. I'm really hoping I can go to that because then I would get to go to 2 events, have a very productive week, and then go home on Friday.
Wow. That seems like it's all falling together very seamlessly.
Yeah.
It's because you were a New Yorker. So I feel like you universally get like extra status for things to work out if you go back and visit. They're like, all right, she was one of us.
I haven't heard back yet that I got into the event. So I'm literally about to email them today and be like, can I work the event? If I don't get approved, I will be a content creator. I will interview people. Like, please, honestly, that might be better because then hopefully I get to go for free. I'm like, please let me come. Yeah, I want to go to this like, so
be
bad.
Behind the scenes.
Yes. That's what I did for, there was a big conference called Yeah Field Trip in 2019. And it was like $1,000 to attend. But I was like, can I work it? And they're like, sure. So, and I just ran around doing social media stuff. So if they don't approve it today, I will be sending an email. Hi, please let me come.
And so that's this coming weekend?
That's next week, Tuesday through Friday.
Cool.
So
very
a
fun.
A little midweek trip. How about you? Those are all my updates.
Mine is also just like a timeline catch up of craziness of like, it's always like, where in the world are Allison and Kara? No one could ever know. But we recorded last on a Saturday morning. I was in Omaha and I finished up my Omaha trip, flew out on Tuesday. So I just did a lot of family stuff over that weekend, wrapped up the big sidewalk sale, cleaned stuff up, put new cameras up at the shop, like all of these tedious tasks that I could only do in person because I wanted to upgrade our camera system, but I wanted it all tied to only my phone and my phone number, not having anyone else have like verification access. So I was like, I need to be the one to do this. And then on Monday, the most tedious task of all time, our birth certificates and our marriage license. When we took them to our appointment here for our visa in the Netherlands, they were like, oh, you don't have these apostilled. And we're like, what on earth is that? These are the original documents. What do you mean? Well, they're only the original documents and certified if you're within the United States of America. To make them valid to foreign entities, you have to get them apostilled so that they are legitimate all around the world. We're like, oh, no one told us this. I am in so many Facebook groups, Reddit threads. Like, we do so much research and they make it very, very hard for a reason. And everything is like a catch-22. Like, you can't get one thing until you get another thing, but then you can't get that one until you get that one. And even today I was at the Comente, which is like our local office. And I was like about to have a breakdown because they won't let you schedule appointments except by phone number, but we don't have our Dutch phone number yet because you can't get a Dutch phone number until you get a Dutch bank account. And they will only let you pay for things with a Dutch bank account. And so it's just like all of this backtracking. And to the guy today, I'm like, please, please. I went to the United States and got these documents apostilled. Like, please do not make me come back for another appointment. Will you just please, please accept them? And he was like, you know what? Come up to my office. So we went up to like his floor and he's like, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm like, I know, but like it literally cost me so much money and took me so much time just to get a stupid stamp. Because not only do you just have to get them apostilled, you have to get them in the apostilled in the state of issuance. So since I was born in Kansas, I had to get mine done at the Secretary of State in Topeka, Kansas. And then I had to get our marriage license and Clay's birth certificate done in Lincoln, Nebraska at that Secretary of State's office. So me and my mom, shout out to her for driving and using her car. It took us 12 hours on Monday. We left like at 8 o'clock in the morning, got back at 8 p.m. just to get a freaking stamp on these documents. And it's just endless bureaucracy stuff.
That's insane. Almost if you're having kids, maybe just get everything apostilled. If you think that they want to live abroad in 30 years.
No, seriously. But I never even knew that was going to be a thing.
I've never heard of that until right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Me either. Like, you would think original birth certificate. What could be more valid than your original social security card, your original birth certificate? And then it's like a whole nother thing because you have to be registered with your city and the country as a whole. So we're simultaneously like working with the IND in Amsterdam and the Gemeente in Harlem. And you'd think that they could just call each other and be like, yeah, they're good. We got this. You got that? No, no, no. It is endless back and forth. So that was my super fun Monday today, was going around town. And then I also went to the vet and having all this issues with Peach's paperwork. So I've said it a couple times on here, guys. I know it seems so fun to move abroad, and it is. I love it so much. But the paperwork and the logistics will make you work for it. If it is not a country that you are absolutely dying to move to and think it will greatly improve your quality of life, don't over-romanticize it in your head. But on the plus side, I thought it was really cute. I got a text yesterday from one of my neighbors in Tulum, and she was like, hey, she lives in San Fran, so she only goes to Tulum like for her vacation home. And she was like, I just want to say I love the podcast. Like, it makes my day. You guys are so fun to listen to, and I'm in Tulum this week, so if you have any loose ends that you need to tie up, like, let me know. Happy to help. So I thought it was a really sweet gesture, and it's nice having people in different corners of the world.
So nice. Oh my gosh, what a kind message.
But yeah, that was Monday. And then Tuesday, I'll talk about this for my peak. Did a maternity shoot, some last errands, went and had coffee with my dad, got to the airport. And we were talking about in our travel do's and don'ts episode, I'm reporting back on my seat selection because we were going back and forth if we liked aisle or window. And on my flight Amsterdam to Omaha, I had window. Went great. Went splendid. Slept half the time. Got to kind of lean up against the window. Halfway through, got out, walked around, hung out in the, what do you call it, galley? So I had no problems with circulation or anything like that. On the way back, I had an aisle seat and it was horrific. 9.5 hours in an aisle seat. Never again. The Wi-Fi was not working on the plane because I am that person. I will spend the money to buy the Wi-Fi. I was planning to get all of this work stuff done and then it just wasn't working. So I didn't download anything in advance and I was just staring at the back of the seat, so uncomfortable. And I wasn't tired yet because I left Omaha at like noon or something. So like I wasn't ready to fall asleep at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, even though it was getting in, that would have been like midnight to 8 a.m. Amsterdam time. So then by the time I landed, I was fucking tired. But the whole flight for 9.5 hours, not tired. And yeah, no, never again. I made a grave mistake. I think aisle, new policy. Under 2 hours, aisle's kind of convenient. Get up, don't have to bother anyone. Over 2 hours, I think I'm staying window forever.
Wait, because the window would have been better in that situation because you could have looked out the window? Or what are you thinking?
I could have gotten myself to sleep.
Okay.
Or at least like put my eye mask on and like leaned up against it. But okay. I just felt so like, okay, I'm seated in form. I can't, like, you know, I was traveling by myself. If I was with Clay, maybe I could have leaned on him or had someone to talk to or something.
Yeah.
9.5 hours is so long.
Yeah, that's a long time. Ugh.
So what did I even do? I cleaned up my camera roll and journaled a little bit and literally just sat there staring.
Did they not have screens in the back?
I was watching the tracker, which was probably making it worse, like watching paint dry. It would be like, you know, 1 mile at a time for thousands of miles, making no progress. But my jet lag was also horrible on the way back. It took me like a solid 3 days to recover.
Yeah.
Because you had said it, going Europe to the United States, that time zone change is not that bad. Because same on the way there, like I was a little tired, but I woke up early. So I felt ahead of things. Like I was waking up at like 4:45. That's better than getting here and needing to go to bed at like a normal person time, like say even midnight at the latest, and not being able to go to bed till 7 a.m. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. So hopefully you're feeling better and hopefully get to rest and sleep a little bit.
I think as of today, it's Monday. I got back last Wednesday. It was that 5 days. Today was the first day I felt like, okay, I'm good. I woke up at a normal time, eating at a regular time. Don't feel horrid. And I even had kind of like an episode 2 nights ago. Woke up in the middle of the night with like horrible cramps. And I think it was literally just dehydration. I was just like hot and cramping. And so Clay got me a bunch of electrolytes and then I felt better.
Oh my God.
But the recovery was not great. And so all that to say, I don't know if I'm going to go back to Omaha in September for a wedding, our baby shower, and Clay's family like reunion trip. Because I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. Like that took so much out of me. And I'll be a month more pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair to not know.
So I'm playing it day by day, but also then the flight prices are going up day by day.
Yeah, you just buy a refundable ticket. Refundable, yeah.
Yeah.
That was something in our travel tips episode.
Mm-hmm. So brutal. It really is so much further. And I think I underestimated it because I used to go back and forth Tulum to Omaha all the time.
Yeah.
Which like, yeah, that was still some effort. 2 flights, get on the bus, get my moped, get back. It's hot. But not having the time change is like the entire difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of thought this time like, oh, I'll just bop over to Omaha, bop back like 1 week, no big deal. I'm humbled.
Damn, that's rough. Yeah. Maybe even being on the East Coast somewhere closer would be
probably
a little
better.
Helpful. Yeah. But even still, that's still far. So
true for West Coast people. It's 9 hours.
Wait,
right?
Yeah. Further. Wait, to go to Netherlands or
Like,
yeah, I feel like it's like 11. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, if it's direct,
it's
I guess
2 hours difference between Central and Pacific time. And it's 7 hours difference between Amsterdam and Omaha. So wouldn't adding two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it meant flying time. Sorry. Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah. I was trying to coordinate something with someone in Europe, but either you or something for work. And yeah, it was a 9 hour difference. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
what even?
God,
this is a different
I don't
day.
Live here. Shout out to the West Coasters. I was struggling. Yeah, I think I said in the podcast, I would wake up and I felt behind and it was stressing me out. Yeah. Anywho, should we do peaks?
Let's do peaks. Yeah, let's bring the vibes back up. Thank you guys for listening to my logistical nightmares.
Okay. All good. What's your peak, Allison?
Peak was the maternity shoot. I will say the best thing about going back to Omaha is how nice and supportive people are to me there. I posted that I was back. One gal was like, you want a spray tan? Lincoln Lewis, like, you want a necklace? Aaron was like, do you want to do a maternity shoot? I'm like, yes to all of the above. I was kind of joking with my parents and Clay's parents. I was like, are you guys funding this behind the scenes to get me to keep coming back here all the time? Like, you guys are having me think I'm getting collaborations and really you guys are just paying it so I get excited. And they're like, no, but that's genius.
like, no, we should have done that though. That's hilarious.
Taking notes for next time. But the maternity shoot was just so fun. I hadn't done like a proper studio shoot in so long. And even some of of the other photo shoots that like Clay and I did one on a rooftop. We did some downtown. I have done like the Lincoln Lou one I did, New Wave, but I haven't done them like in someone else's studio. I can't even remember the last time. So it felt very elevated and very fun. Haven't got the pics back yet, but the few sneak peeks I saw, very, very excited. And I feel like I'm at a good pregnancy size where it's like cute big.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, yay, I'm very excited to see those. Even the more casual ones you just posted with the flowers on your belly were so cute. Who was your friend that's pregnant as well?
I know so many people have asked because they're like, who is it? But it's my friend Mick. She just doesn't have social media.
Oh, okay, okay. I couldn't because I had never seen her face. Obviously, now you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, Mick, duh.
So it was funny.
I didn't recognize who that was.
Yeah. Multiple people thought, because I put that I was going to do it on Instagram with a friend of mine who is pregnant and we're going to take the photos, and people smushed that together as like, I have a photographer friend that's pregnant.
Gotcha.
And so then some people were like, wait, is this Jesse or who's your photographer friend that's pregnant? No, I'm like, no, it's two separate things. Doing a
now you're dragging Jesse into pregnancy speculations.
And I'm like, sorry, this is literally not about her at all. I just didn't tag my friend because she doesn't have Instagram.
Okay, yeah. That's funny. That makes so much sense. I know. I felt bad. I'm like, who is this? I don't recognize this, but that makes sense. There you go.
And how about you? What was your peak?
I know I've been sitting here for 10 minutes panicking. I'm like, what is my peak? I don't know. Everything was so fun this past week. There's so many things. Rapid fire thoughts. I took my friend Logan and Maddie's engagement pictures on Wednesday. Aww. So I got to see them. I haven't seen them in so long because Maddie was a full-time PA student for, 2 years? However long that is. Logan travels also at the same company I do and works. So I literally never see them. So that was fun. Also went on a 4-mile walk with my friend Kenzie yesterday. Got to catch up with her. It was, I feel like my general peak, and of course being in Chicago for the wedding, is about friendship and seeing all my friends, catching up. Saturday morning before the wedding, we went to the rehearsal dinner on Friday night and it was beautiful. So nice. But then of course we're dragging a little bit on Saturday, but I'm like, no, I'm in Chicago. I got to get up. I got to explore. I'm definitely becoming one of those people that I'm like, I should allow myself to rot a little bit, but also I'm like, I got to live my life. I got to do these things. I got to get out and explore. And so yeah, Saturday I got coffee with a friend to work out with my friend Savannah, who also recently got engaged. So we got to talk about that and see her. So many things. So seeing Logan, Maddie, Savannah, Kenzie, all the Chicago friends, I'm coming into this week on a high.
Wow. I feel like our schedules are not usually in sync like that. Either you have an exciting week or I have an exciting week or vice versa. And we both had friendship time this week because yes. When we were recording, I think it was August Patreon, and we were trying to think of our 5-star friends. We were like, clearly we need to hang out with our friends because no friendship activities to report.
Yes.
But now same this week, I'm like, all my friendship activities for the entire summer were smushed into 1 week.
Yeah. And even flying back from the wedding, another thing, we had friends on our flight. So waiting for the flight, we were doing a debrief of the weekend. You know, the Sunday debrief. I was like, I think every wedding or friendship weekend or girls trip, you gotta have the debrief. And it was fun to debrief with the friends that were on our flight. And I guess a peek, our flight there and back was not delayed at all. We got it on time. And that's something to appreciate because things are going wrong a lot lately. And it's good to appreciate when things are on time.
Wow. I actually am shocked that they were on time.
Yeah.
It's one thing if only one gets delayed and then you're in a bind. At least Omaha to Dallas was delayed an hour and a half. This is the most grace of God story. I would have had -7 minutes of my layover Dallas to Amsterdam. And I texted Clay when my flight landed. And I was like, all I need is the Amsterdam flight delayed 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if anyone can manifest it, it's you. I start walking because I'm like, well, I might as well just go to the gate. I don't know what to do. I get a text. Flight delayed exactly 1 hour. 1 hour on the button. So I'm like, all right, going to the lounge.
Yay.
Gonna go to the lounge, stock up. Well, there was a wait list at the lounge. I made my sob story. She's like, all right, you can go in. I fill up a snack bag. I go to the bathroom. American Airlines calls me while I'm in the lounge. Hi, Allison. We just want to make sure that you are coming on this flight. We're just checking in. I'm like, well, I mean, I knew I was like kind of pushing it, but I didn't think it was that much. I was like, yeah. My Dallas flight was delayed. She's like, okay, no problem. I will say I was only in the lounge in and out in 4 minutes. So that like didn't, I had to pee anyway. I wasn't about to get on a 9-hour flight with like nothing. And so I walk up to the gate and she's like, Allison? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh my gosh, great. So happy you made it. And then her and I were just really vibing. And she actually I had an aisle, but like in the back. She's like, I'm going to put you up in row 8. Here you go. So you have more leg room. And I was still miserable, but it was really nice. And if that second one hadn't gotten delayed as well, I would have been in Dallas for 24 hours. So the flights nowadays, they're always a mess. I think the fact that you had an on-time flight is more rare than having delays now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, good thing that all worked out. And that's why you should always be nice to your flight attendants. Lots of lessons today, but truly,
I thought of you. I tried to go to the Starbucks at, where would I have been? I think it was the Amsterdam airport on the way there because I was going to stockpile up on some gift cards. I'm like, okay, I'm going to channel Kara. They didn't have gift cards at the Starbucks one in the airport. So now if I do that in the future, I got to go to like a freestanding Starbucks, I think.
I know. That is definitely a thing because I just hate how they're always so busy anyways because I have bought them in the airport, but then they have to scan each one and load it up. And I felt like a nuisance to everyone behind me. Luckily, it was only like 6 because it was a smaller plane. But I know that is such a good reminder to stock them up. And if you're in the US, I think you can buy them at Costco maybe and even get a little bit of discount.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Some of the grocery stores. Okay. Another pro tip there. Thank you for that because I was like, this is the moment I just needed to have a stockpile.
I know. Literally keeping a stockpile is the move, but I'm still in a process, work in process. Okay, listener peaks?
Yes. Okay, first one here is from Courtney. She said, committing to removing alcohol from my life as it is no longer serving who I want to be. I love that for you. Congratulations. So many bigger and better things to come.
Amy said, I booked flights to go to Hong Kong for my best friend's wedding. Oh my gosh, that's so fun. What a fun thing to look forward to.
Ooh, this sounds very appropriate for this time of year. Adriana said, going to the Sunflower Festival at Nelson's Farm. It felt so whimsical. It sounds so cute. And I can literally see your profile picture as you with sunflowers now. So if that was at that, amazing.
And Claire said, visiting my parents at my childhood house. That's always the best. Feeling the nostalgia, being back home, there's no better feeling.
As always, send your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The Instagram handle is @alreadyfriendspodcast.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing mind field easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use. If you're selling anything online, get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at
Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, getting into the questions. Do you want to read the first one?
Yes, first question. Tips to get over a breakup, sad face. We were together for 7 years and have 2 kids. It became toxic and abusive, so I know I made the right decision to protect me and my kids. It's scary, but freeing.
Well, good for you for getting out of that situation. I feel like you've already done the hardest part. Personally, that sounds like the scariest part of this all. So we're very proud of you. So proud of you for moving on and doing what you needed to do. First thing that comes to mind is it's just going to take time. There's going to be a day, whether that's in 6 months, a year and a half. I feel like there's just going to be a day where a switch flips and you feel so much better and you don't think about it. It doesn't consume your every thought. It's easier to get up in the morning. You're less sad about it. But yeah, I think the biggest thing to just think about is you just need time and it's going to be a lot easier to process. What are your thoughts?
Something tangible I would suggest is keeping a journal or a section in your journal of some of those negative feelings associated with this, like how you said he was toxic and abusive, because the mind has a way of romanticizing things the further it gets from something. Like I even know, I'll look back in my camera roll of when I used to like drink and party and I'm like, oh my God, it was so fun. Like I was so social. I would had the best outfits going out. But then I have to remind myself like, but what about all of the bad things that you did when you were drinking and how much money you would spend and regret decisions, but we tend to forget that part when we're missing something. So while it's still kind of fresh and you have the awareness more presently of some of those negative things, I would write those down somewhere so that when you start to feel like, oh, should I meet up with them? Should I get back together with them? Did I not make the right choice? You can look back and be like, no. Or even if you have evidence of other stuff, like, no, I left this for a reason. I think that could be really helpful. And then number two, being really honest with a couple of close people around you so that then if you do start missing them and you go to them about it and they're like, yes, but do you remember X, Y, Z? You're so much happier now. They can also help support you and be in your corner. And then the third thing, I would highly recommend finding some friends or a support group of people that don't know your previous partner at all so that you don't have all mixed company. Because I feel like that's pretty common, like with divorce and people that have been together for a long time. A lot of your friends end up becoming mutuals and then they're kind of caught in the middle and then that kind of keeps them circulating in your life longer and you don't know who you can trust or quote whose side people are on. Not that people need to be taking sides, but it can just feel messy and like you're still in the thick of it for much longer. So if you could make some new friends that fully just know you and love you and can help you move forward and focus on things in this new era of your life, whether it's hobbies or activities that you're loving outside of that relationship, I think that could be really healthy and, as you said, freeing.
Yes, I agree with all that. I'll give a couple tangible tips as well, other than just letting time pass. One, I feel like when I had gone through serious breakups, and something that people say online is, oh, revenge body, and really going and getting really fit to get revenge. Not saying that you should do that for that reason, but actually prioritizing working out can really help you get rid of that anger, especially if you feel like you've been wronged in the situation. I feel like working out when you're sprinting on the treadmill in Orange Theory class or lifting a really heavy weight in F45, you can let out that anger and be like, oh, why did this happen to me? I feel so frustrated. And I don't feel like there's any other outlet, as many other healthy outlets for that kind of release as a workout or a workout class. So maybe try to find some type of fitness that you really love so you can help process those feelings and do something really hard every day that just lets you deal with all of those feelings. Because breakups bring us a lot of feelings. And then another tip, I mean, if you don't have a therapist, I feel like doing an online therapist or even an in-person one would be a really good tip, especially dealing with someone that was abusive. So you can just process what happened to you and not take that forward, because those kind of things can really stay with us and not damage us, but traumatize us truly toward future relationships. So if you can work through some of that with a therapist, I feel like that would be good before. So you don't bring that into the next relationship.
Yeah. And something I want to say about therapy, I first started therapy. When was BetterHelp our sponsor? Was that like 2022, maybe a couple years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I was like pretty consistent with it. But then I stopped doing it and then never restarted until maybe it was June when I told you guys, like, oh, I'm just kind of like overwhelmed with the pregnancy thing. Well, I started therapy. I had one call and then that was the only call I did. But what I want to say is even one call, like that completely validated everything that I was feeling and my concerns. And it was so helpful to hear. I think it was only an hour and a half chat that I had with this lady. But having someone that you're like, I'm paying for them to listen to me so I can really quote trauma dump and say whatever, like that is what they're there for. There's so many people in our life that we don't want to do that to. So I think sometimes until you're in the moment talking to a therapist, you actually don't realize how much you have to say. And I think sometimes the reason we don't start therapy is because we think, I have to commit to this for like a month or 6 months and it's going to be so expensive. But whether you use an in-person therapist or any of these online channels, like you can literally do one or two sessions, get some stuff off your chest, have your feelings be validated, have someone be there for you, and then see how you feel. And if you want to do another session 2 months later or never again, then you don't have to. But I think sometimes it's the full commitment of like, oh, I'm starting therapy. So then we push it off. And I'm even dealing with a situation of someone I know that's in my circle and they were having, trigger warning, pause, some very suicidal thoughts, and they had never gone to therapy. And they were like, yeah, somehow it took me going through some really extreme things and learning the hard way to finally start therapy. And it has completely changed my life. And so even though it sounds so obvious, like to go to therapy, I still feel like there's like a big resistance in our culture. I don't know if it's the perspective of it or the expense, but therapy is very valuable for many, many people. And it's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about.
Yeah, if anything, I think it's very empowering. And it's you taking initiative to become a better version of yourself or just work through things. And really, I wanted to echo what you said about trying not to trauma dump on your closest friends. And yeah, that's a reason to get a therapist, is to kind of trauma dump on them, because not only will they give you professional advice that is good advice, but sometimes when you have family and friends that are there for you, it's not, I don't know, I'm trying to say like in a nice way, like it's not their responsibility. Because even though our friends and family are supposed to be there for us, I don't think they can always be there in the way that a professional or therapist can, and they can walk you through things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially nowadays, therapists have certifications in like very specific areas. Like either they deal with grieving and death or blended families or divorce. And if you can find someone that has credentials or experience in your area of need, not only are they a therapist, but they're someone who's done extensive research and experience to understand your situation to where your friend and family member might care for you more than your therapist does on like a soul personal level, they might not know what you should do in this situation.
Yeah, or what to say. And yes, my final thought is just getting all of your thoughts and everything out of your head and into reality and breaking it down. Because if you don't, I feel like it's just going to simmer. Like if you hadn't talked to somebody in June, those feelings might still be sitting with you today and they're just going to explode. I was at a yoga class once and this lady was going through this nasty divorce and her kids were picking sides, and you could tell she hadn't really talked to it, and she just was telling me all this, and I'm like, girl, I'm trying to relax right now. Like, I'm not the person, and you're dumping it on me, and I know yoga, you're supposed to be chill, but I'm like, this is not my job, sorry.
No, that's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
That happened to me when I went to the rug place, and same, the guy was like telling me, we went in to buy a rug, and he was telling Clay and I about his addictions and how he was high in the moment, and his wife like had kicked him out, and he's like sleeping in his car, and we're like, maybe you should go to therapy, because I don't think you should tell your customers this. So
yeah,
same thing as that yoga instructor or just like,
no,
a lady?
Just patron. Okay. Just another participant
where like they finally had to release it and it was not the right time or place to do it. And once you say stuff like that to someone, like you can't undo it.
Yeah, and I luckily got out of the conversation because I'm like, I feel for you. And if she had just said something like, oh, I'm going through a nasty divorce, like, you know, that's fine. But she was giving me all the details. She's like, clearly hadn't got support for it. And I'm just like, ugh. This is negative energy that I did not really want coming into this. So moral of the story, I think a good therapist would help, because in the times where I've had things that are up in my head that I didn't know who to talk to because they did feel so deeply personal, I didn't want to burden them on friends and family, then that was a great solution.
Absolutely.
But sending you good vibes with the situation, hopefully, yeah, you can heal and move on.
Next question. Yeah, pick whatever one you want.
I like this one. Hi, guys. Recently, I got invited to my friend's 30th birthday in a different country. So it's an international trip. Me and my other friend let the girl know that we could not attend because we have so many weddings this year and a lot of other destination weddings / travel. So we can't swing another trip. My friend is very upset with us and she's single. Me and my other friend let our friend know that we will not be attending because we have too many other commitments like destination weddings. And my friend is a little upset because she is nowhere near getting married and feels like she has been there for all of our weddings, bachelorettes, bridal showers, and no one is supporting her for her 30th. What do I do? I feel torn because I get what she's saying, but it's just so expensive and I can't swing it.
I mean, first thought is anytime there's a destination celebration of any sorts, whether it's a bachelorette, a birthday, a wedding, I feel like you kind of have to assume attendance is not going to be even maybe half. Like, definitely don't expect 100%, but like, even if 50% of the people that can come that you want to be there, like, I think that's a great turnout because, one, the world is so expensive right now. Two, if you're at an age where people are all getting married, that is so many other activities, like not even just people's own celebrations. It's a lot of time, money, energy to split amongst showers and weddings and birthdays and your own family members and buying a house and all of that stuff. So I think we need to normalize, like, if someone says, I can't afford this, like, that's enough. That's the final answer. You can be sad, but you can't force anyone, friend, loved one, anything, to pay for something of yours with their own money and then them say, hey, this would put me in a tough financial spot, and then think that whatever you want to celebrate is worth putting them in an even worse position. Because obviously no one wants to have to come and say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're already like, oh, maybe I can swing it, or do I just do it? And that is why I think half of our society has credit card debt, is because people are like, whatever, I'll just fucking put it on a credit card so I don't even have to have the conversation. Like, I'm sure so many people have done that for people's weddings and gifts and stuff. But like, what kind of culture is that creating where then you're putting yourself in a less ideal position just because you can't have a hard conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does suck. I agree with your first thought of, if you're doing something international, you need to expect no's. And not to bring it back to me, but when I did my bachelorette was on the same weekend as my birthday, and I went to Puerto Rico, which isn't international, but it kind of is. It's a territory. I was like, if two people come, I'll be happy. Two of my three bridesmaids couldn't come. Not a single moment in my head was I like, oh my gosh, they don't love me. No, that's expensive. It's a commitment. Everyone else that came wanted to go on a trip, and they came because they wanted to see Puerto Rico, plus be with me and celebrate. But every single no, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally understand. I knew planning this, it was a big ask. So I think more people need to have that mentality. And I feel bad because I know your friend, I know it's probably a loaded no too, because maybe she feels like everyone's getting married, and of course that's being prioritized, but not that. But at the same time, maybe one day she'll have her wedding moment and then you guys will all be there for her.
Yeah, and I also do think that there's tiers where a wedding is one time. It's like, okay, wedding is top, probably.
The top tier.
In a funeral. But even like the bachelorette or engagement stuff or the showers with it, I still am like, weddings above. Like, if you can't attend any of the other stuff, save it for the wedding. And then birthdays, I guess 30th is, quote, a big one. But I feel like people kind of get crazy about all birthdays, not just the decade ones. But even still, I think that there's like milestone birthdays that go above other birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unrealistic to expect that everyone can attend every special moment of your entire life. And I want to share this side story. I had a girl who broke up with me as a friend because I couldn't go to her wedding. Now, I do get that this is bad. It was a week after I opened New Wave, her wedding, in the pandemic. And she had a destination bachelorette, destination wedding. We were close. I was not expecting to be a bridesmaid. I was like, hey, I can do one. Like, do you want me to do bachelorette or do you want me to do wedding? FYI, Clay cannot come to the wedding. He will stay and watch Peaches in the shop, blah, blah, blah. That was the end of our friendship. Now, 5 years later, she followed me again and sent me this long message like, I'm so happy for you. This has been all your dream, baby, Netherlands, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, it took you 5 years to get over that, which I'm glad, but I just can't imagine like not being friends with someone anymore because of something like that. Like, I couldn't go to your bachelorette and I'm so glad you never held that against me. Like, imagine breaking up the podcast. Or like, people really do that though, you know?
Because they didn't want to spend $1,000 to $1,500 to $2,000. I mean, an international bachelorette, if they're going to Mexico, like a Tulum, that stuff is expensive. Mm-hmm. Expensive. Oh, sorry, I guess it's not bachelorette, it's the 30th. But I've seen 30ths in, my friend just did one in Italy. I think, yeah, I could not. I think that says enough about the friendship and what kind of friend, like what?
Yeah, to break it down further, I think if you're someone that really, really cares that everyone can make it, then you need to have a really realistic celebration in the town or city where the majority of people can go to.
Yeah.
It's convenient. It's cost effective for them. If you are wanting the icon bucket list celebration, destination wedding, destination 30th, go big, party bus, themed outfits. Well, it's pros and cons. Maybe that's more fun. You're not going to have everyone there. So what is important to you?
Exactly.
You need to pick and choose.
Yeah. So I say, do not feel bad. I don't think this is on you. I think it's your friend that needs to understand that people can love you and want to support you and not have to spend thousands of dollars. I'm sorry.
All right. Last question. You both have inspired me to try some solo traveling to get out of my comfort zone. As a fellow Midwest girly, I'm from Michigan. Do you have any travel recommendations in the Midwest so I can start small? Also, would love to hear solo travel recommendations across the U.S. for when I feel more comfortable to take a bigger step. Heart.
Yes. This is such a great question. I think we've answered something similar before of giving U.S. recommendations, but not Midwest specific. First thoughts immediately, I'm thinking there's so many cute wine towns outside of St. Louis, an hour away. There's a town called Herman, Missouri, and people go for the wineries. So look and see if there's any wine towns near you, because that's going to be a chill crowd. It's going to be probably bachelorette trips or moms or I don't know, whoever goes to wineries, friend groups. I feel like that's very approachable and you can get a cute Airbnb or a boutique hotel, maybe explore some wineries. Maybe there's some hikes or things nearby as Wisconsin and a lake, like a Lake Geneva, or there's so many small towns. Sheboygan, Wisconsin is a cute lake town. I feel like all of those are very wholesome Midwest. Oh, Door County, Wisconsin, so cute. I feel like that would be a really good solo trip. And actually, the Midwest couldn't be better for a solo trip because everyone's really friendly. I feel like they're going to be very welcoming. Any small town, I think, would be a good first step because you could definitely do a solo trip to a bigger city, but that could be overwhelming or a little more chaotic. So I'm thinking cute little small towns would be the best place to start. What do you think?
Totally agree. I think there's a lot of great Midwest cities that you could have a very fun solo trip to. Like, I've solo tripped to Chicago, Denver. But if you're new to it, that's overwhelming. The traffic, the population density. I would not suggest something probably over 300,000 wherever you are going. Anywhere in the US or Europe, Australia. I think if you're just starting out on your own, like Kara said, the smaller towns are just way more approachable. You don't have to stress about like, how am I going to get there to there? Like, is this safe? I don't know what neighborhood I should stay in. So if you can eliminate some of those factors by just going to a smaller place, I already feel like you're going to have a less overwhelming experience. And then as we always say with travel, think about the why of what you want out of the trip. If it's truly just to like boost your confidence, then maybe the activities that you're doing don't matter as much. But if you're feeling like work is so stressful, I never get alone time. Maybe you want to do something that's like more spa or retreat, like get a facial, get a massage, go to a botanical garden, go to someplace with like a big, beautiful library and just regroup. Or if you're wanting to meet people, then maybe you're going somewhere in that like 200 to 400,000, kind of like Omaha size, where you're like, okay, it's not so big. There's some smaller pockets and I could make friends in not too scary of a way. This is not quite the Midwest, but Buena Vista, Colorado, it's so cute. cute. It's really small. It's very picturesque, safe. I also really like Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little smaller than Omaha.
Probably less. Yeah. Really small.
Actually, I'm going to look it up. There's a really cute hotel because I stayed at the Culture Boutique when I went to Springfield, Missouri a few years ago. And it was really beautiful, well done. And underneath it, it had a coffee shop and it was located on kind of a cute downtown area. So you could just park and walk around.
Yeah, I remember those pictures of that hotel and remember thinking that that was so cute. And I was surprised. I had no idea. You were showing really cool things in Springfield from that trip. I had no idea that that all existed. But maybe the tip there is maybe find a cool place to stay. And then you can center your trip around that. If it's a wellness hotel or retreat area, find a good place to stay. And then or also find an event to go into town for. Maybe for Herman, Missouri, they have a big Oktoberfest celebration. So maybe you go into town for Oktoberfest or a yoga retreat, a wellness day retreat. I'm going to New York for that day conference thing. If you can find an event, then you're already setting yourself up to meet people. Going to something like that by yourself is way less intimidating. So I'm sure a bunch of people are going to go by themselves. So if you have a hobby or an interest you like, can you find a day, event, conference, networking thing and center your trip around that?
Amazing. And kudos to you for trying to branch out. I could talk about solo traveling for so long. We'll also link some related episodes in the show notes about solo traveling. And just be safe, have fun, and I hope you have a great time.
Agreed. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thanks for listening to another episode of Already Friends and another What Would Your Bestie Do? As always, send in your questions on our website, alreadyfriendspodcast.com/WWYBD. Thanks, guys, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.